Reading from Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, King of Literatures. Do you know what text? Okay, very good. Canto 9, Chapter 3, The Marriage of Sukanya and Chaivana Muni. Mm-hmm. So, there's no board now. There's a number of verses without purports. Like eight verses without purports. So maybe I'll just recite the first verse. I'll recite all the Sanskrit. We should do that. That's nice. And just read by myself these first verses. Text 1. Sri Sukavacha Sahitir Manavo Raja Brahmista Sambhuvaha Yova Angira Samsatre Dvitiyam Ahar Uchivan. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King, Saryati, another son of Manu, was a ruler completely aware of Vedic knowledge. He gave instructions about the functions for the second day of the Jagya to be performed by the descendants of Angira. Text 2. Sukanya nama tasyasit kanya kamala lochana toya sardham vanagato Yagamachchavanashramamam. Saryati had a beautiful lotus-eyed daughter named Sukanya, with whom he went to the forest to see the ashram of Chaivana Muni. Sasaki biparibritta vichinvanchyangripanvane vamika randre dadrise Kajote Hiva Jyotisi. While that Sukanya, surrounded by her friends, was collecting various types of fruits from the trees in the forest, she saw within the hole of an earthworm two things glowing like luminaries. Text 4. Te daiva chodita bala Jyotisi kantakena vai Avidyan mugda bhavena susravasrik tutobahi. As if induced by providence, the girl ignorantly pierced those two glowworms with a thorn. And when they were pierced, blood began to ooze out of them. Text 5. Sakrin mutra nirodho bhut sanikanam chatakshanat Rajasistam ulaksha purushan vismito bravit. Thereupon, all the soldiers of Saryati were immediately obstructed from passing urine and stool. Upon perceiving this, Saryati spoke to his associates in surprise. Text 6. Apyabhadram navyusmabhir bhargavasya vicheshtitam Vyaktam kenapi nastasya kritam ashrama dushanam. How strange it is that one of us has attempted to do something wrong to Chaivana Muni, the son of Bhrigu. It certainly appears that someone among us has polluted this ashram. Text 7. Sukanya prahapitaram vita kinchit kritam maya Dve jyotisi ajanantya nirbhine kantakena vai. Being very much afraid, the girl Sukanya said to her father, I've done something wrong, for I've ignorantly pierced these two luminous substances with a thorn. Text 8. Duhitustadvachashutva sayatir jatasadvasaha Munim prasadayam asa valmikantahitam sanai. After hearing this statement from his daughter, King Saryata was very much afraid. In various ways he tried to appease Chaivana Muni, for it was he who sat within the hole of the earthworm. Text 9. Tad abhiprayam agyaya pradaduhitaram munehe kritran muktastamamantriya puram prayat samahitaha. Please repeat. Tat of Chaivana Muni. Abhiprayam, the purpose. Agyaya, understanding. Pradat, delivered. Duhitaram, his daughter. Munehe, unto Chaivanamuni. Krichchat, with great difficulty. Muktaha, released. Tam, the Muni. Amantriya, taking permission. Puram, to his own place. Prayat, went away. Samahitaha, being very contemplative. Translation, King Saryati, being very contemplative, and thus understanding Chaivana Muni's purpose, gave his daughter in charity to the sage. Thus released from danger with great difficulty, he took permission from Chaivana Muni and returned home. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The king, after hearing the statement of his daughter, certainly told the great sage Chaivana Muni everything about how his daughter had ignorantly committed such an offense. The Muni, however, inquired from the king whether the daughter was married. In this way, the king, understanding the purpose of the great sage Chaivana Muni, tad abhiprayam agyaya, immediately gave the Muni his daughter in charity and escaped the danger of being cursed. Thus, with the permission of the great sage, the king returned home. Gurave Gurachandraya Radhikaya Tudalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. So, this points in this verse and purport are very instructive and important for devotees. Sometimes we make some mistake, even inadvertently. It wasn't done on purpose. We didn't mean to do it. We weren't really thinking. But something happens. And we can see from this verse and purport how King Saryati, how he dealt with his inadvertent offense to the great sage Chaivana Muni. He didn't try to pretend he didn't know about it. And he didn't even try to excuse himself. It wasn't our fault. It was your fault. You were there hiding in some luminous form, very strange little form. How can you blame the girl for that? He didn't try to explain it away like that. Rather, he accepted immediately. And in a very simple way, he came before the sage and admitted what he had done wrong. So this is a very important instruction for the devotees. Yesterday we were saying something about Namacharya Haridas Thakur, and how Haridas Thakur, although he's the most qualified person, he didn't try to deny his background. He didn't try to deny that he came from a Muslim family, which it's not stated, but means probably a non-vegetarian family. He didn't try ever to claim that he was something that he wasn't. And he got the mercy of the Lord, even though he was the most qualified person. And it's a very ironic kind of pastime with Haridas Thakur, because he's the most qualified person in the universe by his title. He's Pitamaha, the grandfather, the creator of the universe. There's nobody more senior to him in terms of age, in terms of service given by the Lord within the administration of the universe. And yet he's come as a Muslim. The story that Thakur Bhaktivinod cites to illustrate how this came about is the Brahma Mohana Leela from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That Lord Brahma, he was informed by some of his associates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has advented himself on the earth planet in the place known as Vrindavan. Lord Brahma became very curious and went to the sea. And there he saw Krishna as a little cowherd boy playing with his friends in the forest. Lord Brahma saw them sitting together on the bank of the Jamuna taking prasadam. And Lord Brahma was thinking, this is Bhagavan? This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How is that possible? I know Bhagavan. I'm Padmaja. One of the names of Lord Brahma is Padmaja. He's born, his janma is from the Padma, the lotus, like navel of Lord Narayan. Lord Narayan, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's a very powerful, huge personality. Who is this little boy? Lord Brahma saw that Krishna was holding some prasadam in his left hand. He thought, he doesn't even know how to eat properly. What is he keeping food in his left hand for? So Lord Brahma thought, this can't be right. This can't be the Supreme Lord. Let me make a test and see. So Lord Brahma, he kidnapped all the calves that Krishna and his friends were herding and took them away and hid them. And when the boys noticed this, they became very disturbed. And Krishna told them, you just sit where you're at. I'll go looking for the calves. It's okay. And I'll be right back. So Krishna was looking for the calves, but he couldn't find them. And then when he came back, he found the cowherd boys were also gone, because Lord Brahma decided he would also kidnap those boys. And for a moment, under the influence of his yogamaya potency, and taking part in his Naralila pastimes, his human-like pastimes, Krishna became mugda. He became bewildered. Although he's sarvagya, he knows everything. In Braj Lila, Krishna acts like he's bewildered. He doesn't act like he's bewildered, he is bewildered. In particular, he's bewildered by the love of the Braj Gopis, and especially Srimati Radharani. So, when those boys and calves both disappeared, Krishna thought, what happened? What's going on? And then his Lila Shakti kicked in, his Sarvagya nature returned, and he understood, oh, this is my devotee, Lord Brahma. And he wants to test me. He wants to see if I'm really Bhagavan. So then Krishna smiled to himself, and immediately he expanded as all those cowherd boys and all those calves. And we know this story, I think. For one full year in Vrindavan, all the ladies of Braj had their desires fulfilled. All the elderly cows of Braj had their desire fulfilled because they all wanted to have Krishna as their son. And so for one year, all the ladies of Braj, their sons had disappeared. They didn't know that because Krishna had very perfectly created forms exactly like each and every one of their sons, and those forms were him. And for one year, those ladies, their love for their sons increased even more. Whereas before, they had more love for Krishna than they had for their own sons. But now suddenly they had equal samapriti. They had equal love for their son and for the son of Nanda Maharaj. And similarly, the cows of Braj, they became so ecstatic to feed their calves. Sometimes Krishna, he goes and puts his mouth on one of the udders of the cows and begins to drink the milk from it, much to the great ecstasy of that cow. And he's always drinking the milk from the different cows of Braj. But he doesn't put his mouth personally on the udder of very many of them. But for this year, all the cows of Braj got the great happiness of having Krishna directly as their calf. And so everything was going on in Braj without anyone understanding that anything different had happened. One day, when Lord Balaram was going with Krishna and they were herding the calves, they saw the cows nearby on Govardhan Hill. And when those cows saw their calves, they became ecstatic, and with their tails raised in the air, they began running down that hill to go to greet their calves. And they greeted their calves with so much affection, licking their bodies, tears were coming to their eyes. Balaram was watching. I haven't seen like this before. Some of these calves are older calves. And the cows, they have younger children, younger calves. But they're showing more happiness going to these older calves. What's going on? And he turned to his brother. He said, Kanu, you're doing something, aren't you? I recognize this must be your work. And then Krishna told him, yes, Dauji, Balaram. Balaram's his elder brother. Lord Brahma was trying to test me. So I manifested the form of all the cows and cowherd boys for this year. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, incidentally, he says that it was during that year that all the gopis were married in Braj. Because the gopis also, Jiva says, that their desire was simply to marry Krishna. They didn't want to marry anyone else. And those gopis, they'd worship goddess Katyayani during the month of Magh on the bank of the Jamuna River with a prayer to get Krishna as their husband. So Krishna fulfilled their desire. And although it seems like they were married to other men of Braj, in actuality they were married to Krishna. Because their marriages took place during this year when all the cowherd boys were asleep in the abode of Lord Brahma. And Krishna had manifested himself as a form of all those boys. And so the gopi's desire was fulfilled. So Lord Brahma, he went away just for 1 minute of his time, which was 1 year for the time on this earth planet. And when he weighed, he became a little nervous. He thought, maybe this wasn't the best idea. Maybe I might have done something wrong. So he came back immediately to see if everything was okay. And when he came back, he became very bewildered. Wait, I just took the calves and the cow and the cowherd boys and put them in my... But they're still here. And so he went back and saw, actually they were still there in the cave, but then he came back and the boys and the calves were still there. The Lord Brahma's pride became crushed by Krishna. And then Krishna smiled again. And he manifested an Orion form. Each one of those boys and each one of those calves manifested a form of Chaturbhuj Narayan, four-armed Lord Narayan. And then Lord Brahma really became bewildered. And in this way, Krishna bestowed mercy on his devotee, Lord Brahma. He didn't take offense. In some countries in the world to this day, if you kidnap someone, the punishment for that is the death penalty. They'll kill you, or they may lock you up in prison forever. What to speak if you kidnap children? And what to speak, in this case, if you kidnap Krishna's dear friends, Madhu Mangal and Sridham, Subal, and other boys. So Lord Brahma became very afraid. And he came before Krishna and he begged apology. Please, please, dosha kami, moha dami, koroni jadas. Please forgive me for my offenses. Please make me your servant. And Krishna told him, it's no problem. You're my very dear devotee. Krishna's nature is that he's very, very kind and forgiving. When the Lord manifested his pastimes as Ramachandra and Sugriv, he made friends with Lord Ram. They had some fire jagya, and they tied their hands together, and they agreed that we'll be lifelong friends. And so then Sugriv requested Lord Ram, he told him, that I'll go and I'll help find your wife Sita. But my humble request is that you please return my wife, Tanya, to me. Because my brother, my elder brother, Bali, he's kidnapped her. It's a very bad thing. So Lord Ram agreed, and from behind a tree, like a hunter, he killed Bali with an arrow. And then Sugriva was very happy. His wife was restored to him, and he became the king of the country. So the rainy season started around that time. And he told Lord Ram, I'm very sorry, but I can't go to find your wife just now. But you just wait till the rainy season's over, and then we'll go. Meanwhile, Sugriv began to enjoy like anything. And every day he was drinking different types of wine and enjoying with so many different ladies and getting very intoxicated and enjoying himself like anything. So the 4 months of the rainy season went by. And Sugriva had forgotten about his promise to Lord Ramachandra because he was completely bewildered by this intoxication and lust. Kamaishtaishtar, Hrithagyana prapadyante, Niyadevata. Persons whose intelligence is lost by lust, they become very dull. And they worship the demigods, they forget about the position of the Supreme Lord. So Sugriva forgot about the position of Lord Ramachandra. And the time was going by and Lord Ram was lamenting. Meanwhile, Lakshman was becoming very angry. What is this rascal doing? We returned his wife to him, we returned his kingdom to him, and this is the kind of gratitude that he gives? He's supposed to be a friend of the Lord. He's just there getting intoxicated, enjoying all these illicit activities. So Lakshman became a little angry. And when Lakshman becomes angry, it's a very dangerous thing. When later he became angry in his form of Lord Balaram, he took his plow, his hala, and he stuck it in the ground in Hastinapur, and he started pulling the whole city into the Jamuna River. When Lord Balaram, Lakshman, becomes angry, it's a very frightening thing. So he came, he went to the abode of Sugriva, and he twanged his bow one time. And that twanging of the bow reverberated, the vibration went throughout all the three worlds. And Sugriva realized, oops, I made a big mistake. And he came before Lord Ram, Dosha Kami Mohadami, please forgive me for my offense. He didn't try to give some explanation. He admitted his fault. And the Lord forgave him. He didn't hold it against him because this is the nature of the Lord. He's very, very kind. He's very, very forgiving of his devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami, he describes this in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The 25th of Krishna's qualities is Kshamashila, that Krishna is very tolerant and forgiving. And he describes, Kshamashilo paradhanam sahana parikirtyate. He defines a person who endures the offenses of others is called tolerant, or is called forgiving. This is Krishna's divine nature. So he forgave Sugriva in his pastimes as Lord Ramachandra, and in his pastimes as Krishna in Vrindavan, when Lord Brahma committed his terrible offense of kidnapping the boys and the calves, Krishna also forgave him. But that wasn't enough for Lord Brahma. He told Krishna that, no, I have some problem. What is his problem? His problem is I have too much of a position. I think I'm a big man. It's described by Sanatan Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Nard Muni once came to worship Lord Brahma. He said, my dear father, I've realized you're actually Bhagavan. You're the Supreme Lord. Lord Brahma said, no. Haven't you learned anything? I'm not the Supreme Lord. He said, Vanchitas tena gopa balaka lilaya. I was cheated by Krishna when he came in his form as Gopa Roop, the form of a cowherd boy. I thought he was an ordinary person. I couldn't recognize he was the Supreme Lord. Tan mayaiva satatam. I'm always in maya. This is a statement of Lord Brahma. Tanmayaya satatam jagato ham guru prabhu. I think, yes, I'm the controller of the universe. I'm the great guru. Pitamascha krishnasya nabhi padma samudbhavaha tapasya radakastasyeti adya guru madarataha brahmandavasya kapara vyaparamsa vivalaha. I'm always thinking I'm a big man, that I'm Pitamaha, I'm the grandfather of the universe. Don't you know who I am? Nabi Padma Samudbhavaha. I was born from the lotus navel of Lord Narayan. Tapasya Vadakastasyetu. I'm a great ascetic. I'm very austere. I've done so many things. Adjar Guru Madaya Hattaha. Brahmandavasya Kapara. In this way, I'm completely illusioned because of my big position. So Krishna forgave him, but Lord Brahma said, no, this pride came to me because of my position. And I didn't realize your position, didn't understand your supreme role as of Godhead. I couldn't see that thing because of this pride, because of my position. So, my Lord, you've forgiven me, but I want your real mercy. Your real mercy is that you'll smash me. And this is the merciful kick of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. When Shivananda Sen was a little late in making arrangements for the devotees, Lord Nityananda became furious. And he kicked him. And he cursed him. May your son die. And Shivananda Sen's wife started crying. Very bad. And Shivananda Sen, when he heard about it, he became very happy. No, very good. Foolish woman. We're getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda. The Lord, and his form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his different manifestations, and in his form as Bhakta Rup, as Sadguru, in the form of his devotees, he gives his mercy by chastisement. And therefore, a Sishya is someone who accepts sasan, who accepts chastisement from the Guru. And if the Guru flatters the disciple, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says, if the Guru flatters me, then he becomes your enemy. But if he chastises you, then you should know that's real mercy. So Lord Brahma, he said, I want that mercy. I want to be chastised. I want my pride crushed so this problem doesn't come again. I can't worship you properly when I have this big, big position. So Krishna said, well, what would you like? And Lord Brahma told him, I want to take birth in a very low-class family, an outcast family. That will give me some happiness, because then my pride will be gone. Krishna said, Tatastu, so be it. And Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, Pitamaha, the grandfather of everyone here, took birth in a Muslim family in Kali Yuga and became known as Haridas Thakur. He was the greatest personality, but he'd taken birth in a Muslim family. And it's very ironic, as we mentioned, that in his pastimes of Jagannath Puri, the Lord, he brought Haridas Thakur there. And although he's Pitamaha, Lord Brahma, the creator of all the Brahmins, Lord Brahma established the deity of Lord Jagannath in Puri in Satya Yuga. He had a problem at that time, because at that time he hadn't created any Brahmins. So he created a special village, which is still there today. That village was called Yajnapur. And he created Brahmins there in that place. That village today is called Jajpur. It's over the years and years, the name has come changed. But that's where Lord Brahma originally created the Brahmins. And those pandas of Lord Jagannath, who actually are descendants of Indradyumna Maharaj's Brahmin assistant. His name escapes my mind right now. There's different pandas in Puri. And that Vidyapati, that Brahmin assistant of Indradyumna Maharaj, he had different wives. One of his wives was a Brahmani. And the descendants of those children are the pandas in Puri today. And he also married Lalita, who is a daughter of a pig farmer. It's a long story. And their children, their descendants, are known as the Sabaras, and the Swaras. They're the cooks in the Jagannath temple to this day. So they don't even come from such a big position. Their descendants, their mother was a pig farmer. But they're allowed inside the temple. They're allowed to worship Lord Jagannath. But Haridas Thakur wasn't. And Haridas Thakur is the incarnation of Lord Brahma. This is a pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us that even if you're the most exalted person, don't try to claim a big position. None of us have as big a position as Lord Brahma. And when he came as Haridas Thakur, he prayed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as described by Thakur Bhaktivinoda in Harinam Chintamani. We'll sing this. You can chant Hare Krishna in response. Amita dhamma tumi adhamma karana Ubhaye sambandhaye patita pavana Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He said, Amita dhamma, I'm fallen. Hey, Baba, you're Lord Brahma. No, I'm fallen. I was born in a Muslim family. He never tried to deny that. Why should we try to deny what family we were born in? That we were also born of Yavanas and Malechas? No, let that be an ornament on my head. An ornament of humility. Because Haridas Thakur, in this mood, he says, Amita Adama, I'm very fallen. And you, I know who you are. Huh? You're Adamatarana. You're the deliverer of the fallen. Ubaye sambande patita pavan. This is our relationship. I'm fallen, and you're the deliverer of the fallen. This is my sambandha. People want to know, what is my relationship with the Lord? I'll go to Radhakund and give them 1,000 rupees and they'll tell me what my swarup is. You don't have to do that. Haridas Thakur is giving all of us Siddha Pranali. Amita Adama, that's my identity. And therefore Narottam Das Thakur, he sings. Gauranga Karuna Koro Dina Nina Jaya Gauranga Karuna Koro Oh my dear Lord Gauranga, Karuna Koro, please be merciful to me. Dina Hina Jane, you're kind to the persons who are very fallen and low. You should know, Mosama Patita Prabhu Nahi Tribhuvane. There's no one as fallen as me in all the three worlds. Dande Chana Dori Gora. Daki hai tumhara Kripa puri sho ama Hridaya mandire. With strong my teeth, Dante Chinadori Gora, Daki hai tumhara. I'm calling out your name. Doesn't that sound a little strange? Have you ever tried to call someone and say something when you have straw in your teeth? Not possible. You can't say anything. So Narottam Das Thakur has indicated that when I say Daki Hei Tomar, I'm calling out your name. It's not from the lips. It's from the heart. With our lips, we're always wanting to glorify ourselves. We're always wanting to defend ourselves. But the king, he didn't try to defend himself at Chaivana Muni. No, I did this thing. I admit I was wrong. So Narottam Das Thakur, he says, Dante Chana Dori Gora, with straw in my teeth, Daki Hei Tomar, I'm calling out your name. Mahaprabhu says, well, what do you want? Kripa Kori Heso Amar, Hridaya Mandire. Please make my heart into your temple. That's my desire. And then Narottam Das Thakur has some apprehension. There's a lot of people calling out for the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Maybe he's going to look at me and see how unqualified I am. Maybe if I go before the Lord and I'm honest with him, if I'm honest with the devotees and I really tell them about my mistakes, just as King Sarayati did, he didn't try to deny he'd committed this mistake to Chaivana Muni. If I do like that, maybe they won't give me mercy. Maybe I won't get the kindness and mercy of them. So better I try to act like I'm a great person. Maharaj, please give me initiation. Accept me as your disciple. And you know, you'll be very lucky if you get me. because I'm a very knowledgeable person. I know 5 Bhagavad Gita verses. And I'm very wealthy also. We try to deny what we are. But Sanatana Goswami didn't do like that. He came before the Lord. He said, Kayami, who am I? I don't even know who I am. I'm not trying to impress you. So we have to admit our mistakes. The Narottam Das Thakur is a little apprehensive. Maybe if I admit my mistakes before the Lord, then he won't give me his mercy. Jadidoya nakori pe patita deya. Jadidoya nakori pe patita. Jadi, jadi means if. Jadi doya nakwaribi. Maybe you won't give me your mercy. Patita de kia. When you see how fallen I am. When you see really how rotten I am. And how there's a bad smell coming off my body. Maybe you don't want to give me your mercy then. In that case, we'll have to change your name. He threatens the Lord. Everyone is going around and saying, Shri Pati Pavan Gora Sundar Ke, Pati Pavan Gora Hari Ki, all glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Savior of the fallen. Narottam says, look, if you don't save me, then it's a lie. You're not Pati Pavan, because I'm Pati, Mosama Patita Prabhu Nahi Tribhuvani. In all the 3 worlds, there's no one as fallen as me. So if you don't save me, then your whole prestige, your whole position as being Pati Pavan is simply a lie. It's not true. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, perhaps he says, okay, I'll give you my mercy. Do you see the queue over there? Just stand in the queue. Narottam Das Thakur looks. It's a very long queue. He was going all the way from the farm to Stockholm. I can't wait in the queue. Porichiva vakufane nanika nishtara shucharana taramidane nasi porupaya. My Lord, I'm sorry. I can't wait in the queue. You don't understand. I'm going to die. I'm drowning in the ocean of material existence. I can't see the shore. The waves are bashing me. There's a great typhoon. Podichi bhava tufani nahika nistar. And it never stops. Lust, anger, greed, all these material desires, they keep coming to me and coming to me. And I'm suffering. I'm being smashed by one after another, after another. Please. Sri Charanatani Dhani Dasi Kodopar, save me with the boat of your lotus feet. Deliver me. That's my only hope. So then perhaps Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Narottam, okay, I'll deliver you. You can get on the boat of my lotus feet. But one question, before you get on this boat, do you have a ticket? No ticket, no entrance allowed. Narottam Das Thakur says, no, I have a very good ticket, see? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dasiranitasha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dasiranitasha. Prasanna Purvisada Narottam. My ticket is Srila Prabhupada. My ticket is my Guru Maharaj. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dasar Anu Das. My ticket is I'm the servant of the servant of your servant. Mm-hmm. This is my passport that we go, that I can go to enter into your abode. And your passport is that thing, that document, which identifies what country you belong to. I belong here. I belong to Srila Prabhupada. I belong to my Gurudev. But a passport's not enough. If you want to go to India, you may go with your passport, but they won't grant you entrance. You also have to have a visa. What's the visa to enter into the Lord's Association? We have to call out very loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bolo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's Patit Pavan. He's a deliverer of the fallen. There's hope for us who are very fallen. But he's not Kapatya Pavan. He's not the deliverer of the crooked. He saved Jagai and Madai because they were honest. Because they didn't try to impress the Lord. They came before him as they are. Amita Adama. I'm fallen. To me, Adamatarana, and you're the deliverer of the fallen. Ubaye sambandhae patita pavan. This is our relationship. This is how the gopis of Braj attained Krishna. In that pastime, which our acharyas have titled the Vastraharna Leela, Krishna stole the clothes of those young gopis, and he made them come before him naked. Some people, they think that this is some kind of erotic pastime, but it's not. Our acharyas have described that there's a lesson here, that when we come before Guru and Krishna, we should come naked and not try to impress the Lord. Oh, don't you know who I am? I'm a big person. Not try to deny our mistakes. Rather, our mistakes are our only qualification. Our fallen position is the only qualification that we have. Because the Lord is Patit Pavan. He'll save the fallen person. But he's not Kapatya Pavan, the savior of the crooked. So this is some lesson we can get from this pastime of Maharaj Saryati being honest with Chaivana Muni and not trying to deny that they committed some very big offense. So we'll stop there. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ke Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki Gopremanande Hari Hari Bo Vancha Kalpa Guru Bhishcha Kupa Sindhu Bhiva Cha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo. It's a little late. I'm sorry, I wasn't looking at the time. Any questions or comments from anybody? Corrections? Mataji? How to deliver the demons in Kali Yuga. How were Jagai and Madai delivered? They were delivered by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But specifically, how were they delivered? They were delivered by Lord Nityananda, And by Haridas Thakur, there's some purport to that. Lord Nityananda Prabhu is Adi Guru. He's the original Guru. And Haridas Thakur is the Acharya of the Holy Name. If we want to liberate, we want to help all the unlimited Jagais and Muddais in this world, then we also have to become representatives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this disciplic succession. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told everyone, Jari Deki Tahari Ka Krishna Upadesh, everyone you meet, you tell them about me. You give my mercy to everyone. But we have to do that through Lord Nityananda Prabhu, through the form of Guru. And we have to do that through Haridas Thakur, which means by the chanting of the holy names. Because we're not big persons. We're not like Lord Nityananda or Haridas Thakur. But we're the servants of the servants of their servants. And if we act in a proper way, Brahmanda Tarite Shakti Dhari Jani Jani, what to speak of one Jagai and Madai, Devaki Nandandas, he sings in his song Vaishnav Saran, that you can deliver a whole universe. Brahmanda Tarite Shakti Dhari Jani Jani. Aveda Purana Guna Gai Jevasuni. All the Vedas and Puranas, they emphatically state this. This is the amazing power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and this disciplic succession. Yeah. Thank you. Mataji, you had some questions? Speak loudly, it's hard to hear from here. Well, it's not that we should conduct our life, not that you're necessarily saying this, but it's not that we should conduct our life in a proud way with our head held high until that day comes and we get smashed. Rather, we should always keep our head down. And our acharyas and shastras describe we should not be like those proud trees. We've seen in Orissa, there's some very big trees which grow very high. But when the cyclone came, they were all ripped out from their roots and destroyed. On the other hand, there were other trees, especially those fruit-bearing trees. A tree that has fruits that bows down to the ground. It's very humble. It actually has something valuable. And it bows down all the time. So we should be like that. In Tatenu Kampam Susamikshamano Bunjana Evatmikitam Vipakam Ridvagvapubir Vidudannamaste Jiveta Yomukti Pade Sudhaya Bhak. Lord Brahma prays in the 10th canto to Krishna. He says that this is the beginning of our spiritual life. When I accept responsibility, when I stop complaining, I would do bhajan. Probably I might be a pure devotee by now if it wasn't for my wife, if it wasn't for my husband, who's always my children causing me so much trouble. This other brahmachari in the ashram was always making noise and keeping me up at night. We're always blaming someone else. And we blame the CIA and the KGB and the GBC and this and that. It's their fault. It's everyone's fault. It's the temple president's fault. We blame everybody except one person. We don't blame ourselves. And we're not taking proper responsibility then. So how can we our bhajan go on? We're not very tolerant. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he describes in one purport, in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that persons who are, right here, some renunciates show lack of tolerance when presented with the remnants of their previous sins, and thus they're forced to enter again onto the path of impious life. This is the skinny behind so many devotees leaving the path of Krishna consciousness. We have some karma. I did so many bad things in this life. What to speak of previous lives? Why should I think that everything should be rosy and fine for me in this life? Do I deserve that? No. I'm going to have to suffer. And that's why we see so many people, they have mental problems even. They have relationship problems. They have monetary problems. because we have some karma or because we did some offense. But now when we're taking to the life of Bhajan, our karma is different. Prabhupada said it's Krishna karma. Karmadi nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. And when we start doing bhakti bhajan, it's different. Krishna changes your karma. Maybe your house is supposed to burn down, but it didn't. And all that happened is your curtains caught on fire and you're able to put them out. But we shouldn't complain when that thing happens. We should be tolerant of it. We should be going everywhere with our head down, like Haridas Thakur, thinking, I am the most fallen. Amanina manadena. If we conduct ourselves in that way, offering respect to everyone that we see, even the non-devotees, even the demons, the Jagais and Madais, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings in one song in Kalyana Kalpataru, he says that Lila Pushtikari, that these demons who came in Gaura Lila, I offer my obeisances to them. They're actually great devotees. And they're doing something to help the pastimes of the Lord. They're not trying to be the judge of others. And every spiritual tradition in the world understands this. Even in the Bible, which we consider to be upadharma, shastra, something which is not really a proper shastra. Prabhupada calls it a yavana, malecha shastra sometimes. In the Bible it says we hate the sin, but not the sinner. Because we're not the judge. It's not our business. We should be simple and do what I've been given to do. My Guru Maharaj, he told me, if someone asks you to give class, you must. You do that. So this is a service. I'm not a big person. But we want to do a service. We want to please Srila Prabhupada. And whatever our service is, to take care of the deities, to distribute books, to write books and publish books, or whatever it may be, we should be absorbed in that. Achar jera matta jay say matta sar. We should do what I've been given to do. Shreyan sadharma viguna paradharma sanustitat. Krishna says twice in Gita, do your work. Don't do someone else's work. So we can tolerate that. If I'm doing my work, if I understand, if I remember always who I am, if I don't try to deny my position, Haridas Thakur never tried to deny. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told everyone he's the Namacharya, it's not that Haridas Thakur started going to everyone and saying, hey, did you see what he said about me? I'm the Namacharya. You should be respectful to me. He didn't complain when the pandits didn't allow him in the temple. He considered, I'm very fallen. It's a very beautiful principle. And this principle, if we imbibe this in our heart, then we'll always be able to chant Chaitanya Sadahari. And we'll be able to chant in a very deep way. And we'll have some shakti when we go to other people. They'll feel, wow, these people really have something. Instead of using some tricks or something, we were saying yesterday, sir, did you get one of these yet? You're flying in or flying, take one with you. Give them a book, that's okay. But better than depending on some lines or something, if we can depend on Krishna. And I have no potency. Let me just be honest and be what I am. Our problems in our spiritual life come when we start living in a fantasy. And we start thinking, my gosh, I'm practically a Mahabhagavat by now. They should give me more respect than what they do. It's not right. We're living in a fantasy, an illusion. Is that okay? Very nice question, thank you. Mataji? Very nice suggestion. And therefore, did everybody hear her question? Okay. She was asking that sometimes over the years we become proud and we forget our position. Is there some way, something we can do to help remind ourselves of our position? Yes, we should take shelter of our acharyas. We should take shelter of our guru. And our guru will chastise us. Badmas, rascal, why are you doing like this? My Guru Maharaj, he hit me a few times. I'm so bad. It's very good. We should want that thing. And we should take shelter of our acharyas in the sense there's different types of prayers that we offer to the Lord. One of them is called prarthana. Another is danya, danyodika. Prarthana means an appeal to the Lord. And danyodika is a prayer full of humility. And Thakur Bhaktivinoda has given a number of prayers like this. That in Narottam we were just singing this song by him, Mosama Patita Prabhu Nahi Tribhuvani. And all the three worlds, there's no one more fallen than myself. We should sing this, and we should think about it. And really, it applies to me. I'm really like that. But it's okay. Because in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, he has jug eyes and mud eyes. They have a place there. But they don't try to deny their jug eye and mud eye. That's their place. That's their role. So if we read these statements, we offer prayers, so many different prayers are there. We can offer to the Lord before we chant our japa. This particular one in Harinam Chintamani is one of our favorites. Amita Dhamma, Tumi Adama Tarna, I'm fallen. You're the deliverer of the fallen. Ubaye Sambande Patita Pavan. This is our relationship. And this is our relationship with the Holy Name. So in that mood, we should cry to Krishna. That's a very beautiful thing. Like a child crying for the mother. Prabhupada said. Is that okay then? Thank you. It's a nice point. Maharaj, do you want to add anything? I'm very happy here. I always wanted to get to know more about Smita Krishna Maharaj. So I think this place, it feels something like your heart, Maharaj. And the cow's here and everything, so we're feeling very fortunate to be here and see you something like that. Okay, Mataji? Very difficult. The most difficult thing, the most dangerous thing is that sometimes when we get around very humble devotees is we think, yeah, it's actually true. The devotee thinks they're really fallen and we think, yeah, they're actually a second-class devotee and they're lower than me. That's the real danger in that situation. But what can we do? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he felt the humility of Haridas Thakur was painful for him. And the humility of Sanatana Goswami, who refused to be embraced by the Lord, he started crying when Mahaprabhu forced him to be embraced by him. He felt that his humility was painful. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was defeated by Sanatana Goswami and by Haridas Thakur. He saw they really wanted that humble position. They really wanted to keep their head down. So you couldn't argue with him. Similarly, what can we do with the devotees? And Jayananda Prabhu wants to serve everyone. Vatsal Prabhu told us a story some years ago that when he first came to the temple in San Francisco in Haight-Ashbury, he took some prasad and it was really nice. He said, yeah, I like this. Can I do some service for you guys? He said, yeah. You can go help the garbage man over there. So there's one person who's collecting all the garbage and putting it in a big truck and working very hard. And he filled this whole truck full of garbage, old prasadam leftovers from the guests and things, and took it to the garbage dump and emptied it and came back. And Vatsal Prabhu said, that garbage man was the happiest person I ever saw in my life. And because of him, I became a devotee. And that garbage man was Jayananda Prabhu. He was the temple president. He was the most senior devotee in the temple, and Prabhupada loved him. But he was taking out the garbage. But he had such potency like that. So how can we deal with that? I don't know. Maybe some of the devotees have some comments. But I don't think we can falsely or try to force them to accept some respect. We can give them some gifts sometimes. We can try to serve them in some way. We can try to love them. But the best thing I think we can do is to try to listen to them and try to imbibe their mood. Sometimes I think a danger in our society has been, with all respect to our most worshipable Srila Prabhupada, is that the only example that we have in a society-wide thing of a great Vaishnava is Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada was acting like a guru, as an acharya, and he was chastising people. And he was in some ways demanding respect even, that the devotees must do his guru puja, they should worship him nicely. And that's our example that we have, and that's a dangerous example. And better to have some examples for us in some ways of very humble Vaishnavas like Jayananda Prabhu and others. If we try to imitate Srila Prabhupada, and sometimes we've done that, then problems come. We see that. Puna Mushika Bhava, and we become a little mouse again from our big position. Better we take example from Haridas Thakur and from who's Lord Brahma. Better we take example from Jayananda Prabhu and devotees like that. So I don't know, it's something that comes to my mind. Maharaj, did you have any other thoughts? Yes. I remember I was in one kirtan in Los Angeles once. It was some festival or something, and the devotees, I think they'd gotten the idea from Europe, actually. They started picking up the senior devotees in the kirtan and taking off their socks, and everybody was putting their head on their feet and carrying them around. And Sadaputta Prabhu was there, Prabhupada's scientist disciple, a very wonderful devotee who sadly passed away a few years ago. Very, very humble, very deep person. And some of the devotees went to pick up Sadaputta, and he started crying. He became very, very disturbed. No. He actually became a little violent also, and he wouldn't allow the devotees to do that. So we should respect that. And the devotees, as Maharaj is saying, we should, but at the same time in our heart, we should respect them and pray. Maybe Krishna will give us some opportunity to serve them or glorify them. That's a very good point. I think another question. This is a big subject and something we want to speak about elaborately a little bit later today. And I wanted to prepare for that class, which is supposed to start in half an hour. We'll see what Krishna arranges. But we should be adosha darshi. We shouldn't see faults. The antidote for the way to stop seeing faults in others is to train ourselves to see good things in others. And wherever we see some good thing, even if it's very small, we should fan that, and we should glorify that. Probably today we'll speak about four types of good people and four types of bad people. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains this in one of his purports. And there's the sadhu, the sadutama, and the atya sadutama, four types of very saintly persons, and similarly there's four types of asadhus, of bad persons. Very interesting thing. One of the symptoms of the sadutama, the most elevated devotee, is that even if he sees some small thing, he glorifies it. And Vishnu gives an example that the sadhu is there and some man comes and steals his blanket. That's all that he has. Right? He steals his blanket, but rather than being angry at that person and finding fault with him, he sees something good in him. How can you do that? Vishnu says, he thinks, oh, he must be a very saintly person. He came to steal my blanket. He has some weapons. He has a knife. But he didn't attack me. So he must be saintly. Huh? And he sees some good quality in him. It's a wonderful, wonderful exercise which will bring so much joy to our hearts. If everywhere we go, if everyone, we try to see something good in them. Mm-hmm. And it's a very depressing exercise and unhappiness to try to find fault in everybody. We become very depressed then. Okay? Well, one last question. We have to do that. Yes. And therefore, we were saying yesterday, why should we be so eager to become a leader? It's a very thankless task. It's a very difficult task. To be guru is a very difficult thing. To be a teacher, to be a parent. It's not a small thing. It's a thankless task to chastise others. And what is the qualification of that guru, that teacher, that leader to chastise others? Acharya described their qualification is that they don't have any envy. They're not envious of the other person. When they chastise you, it's not because they're angry with you, they hate you, but they have love for you. And they're actually saying something out of concern for you. When we chastise a child like that, we tell the child, I love you. You're very good, but right now I don't like what you're doing. This kind of behavior is very bad. And we're going to have to discipline you. Something for this. And the child understands and appreciates it. And that's the qualification of that leader. A very good point. Thank you. Okay? We'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinda ki, Gopremanande. Gauranga.